When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Boiler Up Down South, which spells out buds. If this is your first time, again, welcome. If this is not your first time, thank you for coming back. I am Garrett Shearman. Here is Drew Schneider, and we work for HammerAndRails.com, which is the greatest Purdue blog that has ever existed.
Yes, exactly. Greatest Purdue blog that ever existed, especially since we kicked that bum Travis Miller to the curb. Just kidding, T-Mill. We love you. We're trying to maintain the overall essence of Hammer and Rails. So hopefully you're listening and taking some notes.
Yeah, own him. No, he's a very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Travis is a very nice guy. Big fan of Travis. But anyways, we're here talking about some Wisconsin, and that game is going to be played on Friday night, and that feels super weird. I personally do not believe in Friday night college football.
Yeah, that's for high school.
That's right. I like my sports regimented, planned out Friday night high school football, Saturday college football, Sunday pro football. And so this is really throwing like a crimp in our operation, but we are going to battle through and give you all the information you crave. So let us go ahead. We're going to take a break, pay some bills, and then when we get back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit of Wisconsin football, what to look for on Friday night. So we'll see y'all after the break.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. And let's get just right to it, Garrett, because, like I said, this Wisconsin game on Friday is crunching our time window a little bit, so let's give the people what they want, and what they want to know is how Purdue can attack this Badger team. I think we'll start on the defense first, because like Purdue, Wisconsin went out and hired a sort of defensive-first coach in Luke Fickell. You know, it was a super weird transition. Everybody sort of assumed Jim Leonard, the former defensive coordinator and Wisconsin star defensive back, was in line for that job. But they went out and got Fickell from Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got a great resume. Took the... What is it, the Bearcats? The Bearcats,
yes,
yeah.
The Bearcats.
The Bearcats to the college football playoffs.
Hey, they gave my... I went to Georgia, and they gave my team a fit in 2020, the COVID year, so...
Yeah, that secondary with Sauce Gardner, that was some tough stuff. But now he's in Wisconsin, and he's really stepping out of the Barry Alvarez mold. It's really the first time we've seen sort of a non-power run... heavy in the trenches Wisconsin team. What do you think about that transition, Garrett? Do you like the Wisconsin sort of breaking away from tradition here?
See, well, like, I don't necessarily like it or dislike it because I have very little affiliation with the Badgers, but I will say, as somebody who grew up watching a power run team, I always liked Wisconsin's offensive identity. I'm going to get into the defense here in a second, but I always liked their offensive identity, which is just like, hey, we're Wisconsin. We have a lot of corn-fed Midwestern boys who are just going to control you and provide the interior run game, and you're going to have guys like Monty Ball just going crazy. But defensively, they've always had a really good defensive line as well. I mean, that's kind of their thing, is they just put the weight up at the line in both sides of the ball, and they'll overpower you. And that's how they win Rose Bowls. That's how they... you know, just do their thing. And it's so weird to see this offense changing from, you know, run by the interior run game to more of a spread offense, question mark? Like, it's almost like they do kind of run some option stuff, too. Like, it's weird. And, I mean, I'll get into Tanner Mordecai later as well, but it's jarring to see how differently Wisconsin performs offensively under a new scheme.
Yeah, I just want to say that we normally do this podcast in like one or two takes, but we've been really struggling today because this whole new Wisconsin thing is, I think, got us both thrown off our games a little bit. I spent, today and yesterday watching Wisconsin's first couple games, and it's just weird. It's weird to see them in 11 personnel and 10 personnel, 4 receivers, no tight ends on the field. That's like wild seeing it from Wisconsin. But at the same time, it's a real similar sort of thought process to what Ryan Walters did, was doing at Purdue. You know, it's a defensive-oriented coach who's bringing in a more spread option on the other side of the ball to try to put up points a little bit faster. So I feel really what Fickell's trying to do at Wisconsin is not so much improve their floor, but I think he's trying to knock that ceiling off the program. And that's sort of been Wisconsin's issue, right, is they're always a 9, 10-win team, but they always run up against somebody at least one or two games a year where they get behind early, and then they can't come back with their, you know, power run game and more conservative defense. So, you know, it's a gamble for them to take. They've got, you know, one of the most well-known ways of playing in college football. And now they're doing something different. And, you know, and to be honest, it's been a rough start for them so far this year. They are 2-1. They went to Washington State and got beat.
First half was bad. They fought their way back, but the first half they just looked lost.
Right? You know, going in, they scored 9 points in the first half. They had a big third quarter, and then didn't put anything together in the fourth, so lost 31-22. And, you know, even against Buffalo, it took them a while. They were up, I think, 3 at halftime on Buffalo, and then Georgia Southern game was tied, and I think Georgia Southern at some point had the lead in that game. So, you know, it's been a sort of tough transition. A lot like Purdue, I think you've got a case of some of it being, you know, trying to force, like I said, some guys into new positions. You know, mistakes are getting made on the fly. And, you know, every week they're probably going to get a little bit better. But so far it's been, you know, mixed results for Luke Fickell. I'm sure he'll get it turned around. But this could be a transition year all the way for the Badgers.
Yeah, and if I'm going to talk about Purdue's defense, like, to a certain depth, what's the craziest thing is, like, okay, Purdue, you know, good receiving core, right? Wisconsin's secondary looks the worst I have ever seen their secondary since I started watching college football in, like, the year 2000 when I was 5 years old. Sorry if that makes you feel old.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry if that makes you feel old.
I graduated high school in 1999.
Oh, God. Sorry, Drew. I was 4 years old and just moved to Atlanta from San Antonio, Texas. But, like, the thing is, with, like, a Wisconsin defense, you typically expect a really hardcore defensive line, some good linebackers, and if your secondary isn't great, that doesn't come into effect as much as it would if, you know, the front seven, or I guess in this case sometimes a front six, will not do their jobs. And oh my goodness, does Wisconsin's secondary look bad. I mean, you are talking about this Georgia Southern game where Georgia Southern is also moving away from their offensive identity of running the triple option and going into more of a spread. And you should not give up a 68-yard pass against Georgia Southern. Oh my gosh, I'm the local Georgia boy, so I should be talking about Georgia Southern and Statesboro and all that boring stuff. God, Statesboro is boring. I'm sorry, people from Statesboro. Danny McBride, you're cool. John Rocker, former pitcher of the Atlanta Braves, you are definitely not cool. But it's so baffling to see how bad they are in the secondary when their entire defensive identity has always been, we have defensive linemen who will murder you. We have linebackers who will clean up if those defensive ends do not murder you. And now everything is in disarray, and they give up a lot of plays in the areas where Purdue is good at getting offensive plays now, which is crazy. So, like, I see a lot of places where Purdue can exploit how weirdly bad Wisconsin's defense looks.
Yeah, I mean, let's just look at that Georgia Southern game. Georgia Southern had 23 first downs in that game to Wisconsin's 22. They had... But in the weird, like, it's wild seeing Wisconsin throw the ball. It's almost even crazier seeing Georgia Southern throw the ball. Georgia Southern threw it 52 times, completed 33 of those passes for 383 yards and a touchdown. The one thing they did do is throw 5 picks, which is obviously to Wisconsin's credit, but still... a lot of those picks were just the Georgia Southern quarterback sort of melting down and making just throw the ball to Wisconsin. I think a couple of those were linebacker picks where he just hit the linebacker.
They were just bad throws.
Bad throws.
And like, it's kind of like along the same lines of what I was saying about Virginia Tech's defense when we were approaching the Virginia Tech game in Blacksburg. And, you know, sure, they forced some turnovers, but I was not giving Virginia Tech's defense credit for them. It was just like some guy coughing up the ball. It was not anything that they did brilliantly. It was not great reads. It was somebody just handing them the football.
Yeah, and so what you're going to see on the field on a Friday night on the Wisconsin defense is more of a three-man front. So it's going to almost be like Purdue's front. Minus the outside linebackers, so they'll put three on the line, and then they'll usually bring a fourth to one side or the other from the linebacker spot. Sometimes they do like to bring that fifth guy from another linebacker, sort of up the middle. But like Garrett's saying, nothing super like individually where I look at them and just go, man, that guy is unblockable. You don't see J.J. Watt, Erasmus James, I don't remember, y'all remember him. Wisconsin's had just some game changers on that defensive line. I'm not seeing them this year. And again, linebacker spots, they've got, you know, some decent talent, but again, nothing sort of overwhelming. I think Purdue has a chance to put some points up, especially with Wisconsin's, when we really sort of talk about their offense and defense going hand in hand. In past years, the Wisconsin defense has really been protected by their offense. So where, you know, they're usually fresh on the field.
Yeah, because they play like possession, power run. I mean, they'll keep the ball and have like 10-yard drives. Even if that results in a field goal, you're keeping your defense off the field. And now their offense seems anemic at some points. It's baffling.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia Southern ran a bunch of plays against Wisconsin. And that's just something you didn't see in the past, where most Wisconsin games were low possession, low play count, grinders. And this is not what they're doing. So let's go move over to the offensive side of the ball. And,
yeah, let's talk Tanner Mordecai for a second. Yeah. What do you see out of him?
So he's another guy. He's been around the block. He's a sixth-year senior. Started his career at Oklahoma as a four-star quarterback. Transferred to SMU. Played under that Sonny Dykes offense. And then I can't remember whoever.
Oh, you mean the Sonny Dykes offense that put up a whole 7 points on Georgia in the national championship?
Yeah,
sorry,
I mean,
guys. I had to say it. I'm wearing a Georgia national
championship. Most teams don't have an NFL defense like Georgia did. Even my Clemson Tigers. But, Tanner Mordecai, he's coming from that spread offense, though, where he just slings the ball around the yard. And that's why they brought him in. They wanted somebody that was capable of doing that. It's so sort of a weird fit. He's always been more of a game manager, get the ball out quick, lots of pass attempts, usually not. Doesn't average that many yards per attempt because he throws it so often. A lot of quick strikes. He's a guy that gets the ball, and when he's at his best, he gets the ball out of his hands and gets it outside to his playmakers. He's put up big numbers. Last year at SMU, 65% completion percentage. He attempted 443 passes, threw for about 3,500 yards, 33 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
That's a good ratio, like 33-10. Good quarterback ratio, especially when you don't have a great offensive line.
Yeah, and you know, the year before SMU, 68, that was with Garrett Riley's offense, 68.
How many Garretts are we going to talk about?
So many Garretts. God. I feel like this Garrett's all the way down. But you know, 2021, he threw for 3,600 yards, 39 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So this is a guy that has done a lot in college football. But so far, he's sort of gotten off to a slow start for Wisconsin. And you kind of got to, I really sort of put that more on what Wisconsin's doing. We know what Mordecai can do. We've seen it the last 2 years. But he's not quite living up to that this year. I think a lot of that is just, he knows where the ball's supposed to go, but the receivers aren't getting there. It's very much a timing offense for Phil Longo. I've watched this offense at North Carolina for a couple years. Timing offense. And if that timing gets knocked off, especially with those short routes.
Like you can buy a fraction of a second. Yeah.
Yeah, like just a fraction of a second. Things don't work. So, I mean, Georgia Southern, he went 19 to 30, 236 yards, didn't throw a touchdown. In the opener, he threw for 189 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. You know, he looked better against Washington State, but they really had to throw the ball to try to get back into that. Still 278 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. But for a guy that threw, you know, upwards of 30, almost 40 touchdowns in as a duration, I guess he was a junior, sophomore. It's hard to tell.
With especially with the COVID year and people getting free red shirts, it's hard to keep up.
It's hard to keep up, but like, just he has not found that rhythm yet, and I think it would definitely benefit Purdue if he waited at least one more game before he found that rhythm. Physically, you know, not the 6'2", 210, so fairly average, probably around Hudson Card size.
He is a little bit smaller, yeah.
Smaller. He's mobile, though. That is one thing, especially in that second half of the Georgia Southern game. He bailed out Wisconsin a good bit just with his legs. He's not a guy that's going to put up huge numbers, and I say that, and he's probably going to rush for like 200 yards.
Yeah, it's curse of the commentator.
But he's a guy that's going to, you know, step up. If he doesn't see it, he's going to get outside and the pocket and get over to the first down marker and get out of bounds. Doesn't take a lot of big hits. So he's a judicious runner, but is a guy that is athletic enough to sort of scramble and make plays, pick up first downs with his legs. And that does sort of concern me in terms of Purdue, because we've seen some real issues in keeping containment, keeping the quarterback in the pocket, sort of limiting what they can do. So it is another, what we've said it almost every week, it would be good if Purdue was disciplined in their pass rush, and the outside linebackers level off when they get to the quarterback instead of going past him and forcing Mordecai up into the pocket instead of letting him just escape.
Just roll out, yeah.
Just escape, because in theory, that's what this defense is supposed to do, right? So the outside linebackers are supposed to be out there setting the edge, and then you've got three guys in the middle that he's stepping up into. Purdue hasn't forced anybody to actually step up into their nose guard and defensive tackles yet. That's what made that Illinois defense so good, is the defensive tackles really racking up tackles and sacks. Maybe this is the game, but
I had said in the off season that like one of the things that led to that last Ryan Walters Illinois defense was that he had a bunch of guys on the defensive line who were big and aggressive and tall and long enough to tip passes, which led to the 24, let me repeat that, 24 interceptions in 1 year.
Oof. And we haven't really got there yet with that defensive line. I was expecting maybe a little more out of those two transfer tackles, Langham and Nichols. They just haven't quite found their groove yet. Again, this is still, even though they're fifth-year guys, this is a new system for them. This is Purdue runs a kind of a unique defensive front. So anybody that jumps in has a little bit of a learning curve. And so hopefully maybe this is the game where we see everything sort of settle in and start clicking. But what I've seen so far is some good individual plays, but in a lot of plays you'll see just one breakdown. And that's all it takes. This is a defensive line at Purdue that sort of needs to be connected in everything they do. the outside linebackers need to be out there getting with, not running by the quarterback. The defensive tackles need to be coming up the field and pushing the guards back, and keeping the quarterback from stepping through the pocket. And, you know, sometimes I see the defensive tackles do their job and one of the ends flies by and lets the quarterback run out the backside. Or sometimes the defensive, the outside linebackers do their job, but one of the ends gets beat and they just sort of, or tackles get beat and they just sort of step through. So against Wisconsin, once again, if that defensive line can play more connected as a unit and really make Mordecai work from the pocket and collapse it around him to get sacks instead of it being more like an individual effort sack off the edge. I'd like to see some more like team sacks, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Where it's, somebody gets half a tackle in the backfield.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's a wild Wisconsin look, though. Like I said, if you're looking at Wisconsin running four wide receivers out there, their base right now is three wide and a tight end that they move around. And the tight end is a lot of times a move guy that's not just, like, tied to the line blocking. But they'll move him across the formation to get different looks. But the thing that I did have noticed about Wisconsin looking over these last couple of games is when things get sticky for them, especially against, say, Buffalo and the last game against Georgia Southern, they sort of revert to what they do best, which is running the ball with two really premium backs. I mean, they've got two excellent running backs in their program right now, sort of a two-headed monster with Braylon Allen and Ches Malusi, Clemson transfer there, who are more than capable of sort of carrying the load, especially if that run pass game doesn't click on all cylinders. So everybody at Clemson, everybody at Clemson knows Ches Malusi because he used to play at Clemson. He's a four-star kid out of Florida, Miami maybe. He sort of got lost in the mix a little bit after an injury, transferred to Wisconsin because he wanted to be in that power run game.
Dude, imagine moving from Miami to Madison. Good Lord.
Yeah, Miami to Madison is a bit of a culture, at least temperature shock. But now he's back in sort of the offense he was recruited to play at Clemson, really. He is more of their spread guy when they're looking to run some RPO stuff with Mordecai. You usually see Malusi in there. He's a little quicker than Braylon Allen. I mean, he's still a big back, 5'11", you know, 200, between 200 and 210. But he's not like a 6'2", 240-pound beast like Allen. And Purdue fans are well acquainted with Allen because he destroyed the Boilermakers last year. I think 16 carries, over 100 and something yards, and really just steamrolled anybody in his way. So that is at least sort of the safety blanket I see for Wisconsin. When things go south, they do have that to lean on.
Here's we should wrap this up soon, but here's what I just want to say about Purdue's offense versus Wisconsin's defense is that, man, they're really, really vulnerable. The Badgers are really vulnerable to the areas in which the Boilermakers excel. This is the first time I've seen Wisconsin's defense look like this since I was probably, you know, I'm not even going to say what grade of elementary school, but it's a long time ago, you know? And again, like I was saying, I mean, the fact that their defensive line and their linebackers were kind of just churning out guys into the NFL for the longest time, you can get past not having the greatest secondary in the world. You can't do that when you're bread and butter ain't as bready and buttery as it used to be.
Right? No, Wisconsin defensive backs are having to cover a lot longer than they're used to. I saw several times in that Georgia Southern game where, I mean, Wisconsin just rushed three guys and dropped eight into coverage. And Georgia Southern was pretty successful. I think if they do that against Purdue, guys like Deion Burks and Sheffield are going to find.
Yeah, Burks and Sheffield, I was going to say, are going to be the two receivers I really want to look for. Yassine's going to have a good game, too.
Yeah, and then, I mean, this Purdue receiving core is set up pretty well, I think, for this Wisconsin defense. And then Max Clair sort of over the middle, picking up short yardage as well. I think Purdue's offense, and of course we have to put this big, like, disclaimer, if they don't just spend all game just blowing their toes off, like, they ran out of toes to shoot off last week. So, if Purdue can just, and I always feel like I'm saying this, if Purdue does this and if Purdue does that, and we haven't seen a lot of the ifs come to fruition yet, but if they can not turn the ball over and commit dumb penalties, I don't see any reason why they're not in this game with a chance to win it late. The opening line was Wisconsin minus 7. That's moved to Wisconsin minus 6 now. So, a little action maybe come in on Purdue from Vegas on that. But I can see that. I think it'll probably just be a touchdown game either way.
Same.
Yeah, how are you seeing this this sort of play out? Give me sort of, I'm not looking for an exact score, maybe a range here, Garrett.
Well, see, like, that was the thing that was, because Wisconsin's only played the one, like, quote-unquote real team in Wazoo. And the Cougars took them to town in the first half, but the Badgers fought back, man. Like, it was 22-24 at one point before they lost 22-31, I believe. And I think Wisconsin's going to stay in this game, given going back to, like, their original identity, whatever you want to call it, of, you know, the power run game, everything. But I don't think they last this one out, because it's really just their secondary that makes me think, okay, maybe this is the first game Purdue can hang 40 points on somebody. Yeah, I really think Purdue can get to that level of offensive productivity this week, where they might actually hang 41, 44 points on somebody. And it's very rare to hang 44 points on Wisconsin. So I am not saying that without understanding what I am saying. You know, that being said, man, I'm gonna pick Purdue in this one, 44-35.
Ooh, that's a big score. And see, here's the thing, because I sort of agree with Garrett on that, is, like, I think Purdue, minus the turnovers, puts up 40 on Syracuse.
Same, dude. That's why it was. We're not gonna talk about it anymore.
We're not gonna talk about it anymore. But I mean, this Purdue team moved the ball well through the air. Last game, Card looked like the guy that I expected him to be at Purdue, and I think the guy he was going to be moving forward. Some of those fumbles, fluky stuff, that gets cleared up. They're definitely in this game. Garrett does not have the years of just suffering through Wisconsin beatdowns to sort of haze his judgment.
I don't. I'm sorry. I grew up a fan of a different team.
Yeah, and so I have suffered through just so many Wisconsin beatings. It'll be nice, maybe, at least to not look up and see, like, oh, a Wisconsin running back ran for over 200 yards against Purdue. And again, I say that, and it's very possible that either Allen or Malusi does that, can still do that. But, whew, man, I've picked Purdue to win every game so far, and I've been right once. I'm not sure they get to 40. I think this game is toss-up either way. I think it's going to be played in the mid to high 30s, though. It's just going to come down to who makes plays in the end, who doesn't turn the ball over. So far, that hasn't been Purdue, but really that hasn't been Wisconsin much either. They've come on against a couple bad teams and had good second halves, but they have been slow starting. And so I'm going to go ahead and lean to Purdue on this one again. If they let me down this time, I may have to reassess my homerism forward.
We're staring at a framed picture of Drew Brees and just
framed wishing, and autographed.
Wishing for the best. Yeah, the framed autographed picture of Drew Brees. We're just hoping.
Hoping that that's gonna happen. So, anyways, like Garrett said, it's a short week. So it's gonna be a shorter podcast today, and we hope to see y'all back so we can talk about the big Purdue victory over Wisconsin, getting that monkey off our back, and getting Ryan Walters' first home win.
Yeah, man. I mean, and the last thing we'll say, because Drew has to go be a great head soccer coach. He is a reigning youth champion soccer coach.
That's right. U14, North Georgia recreational soccer.
Yeah. If Drew kicked a penalty kick and I had my goalie gloves on, I'd break my nose like right now. And that's not just because my nose is big. He does have a big nose. Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it. But last thing I will want to say, just casual dropping this knowledge, they did not play two very good teams, aside from, you know, Washington State. They didn't have their first, the defense of Wisconsin did not have their first takeaway until Georgia Southern. Then they got a bunch of takeaways. So if you look at those statistics, if you're a statistics nerd like we are, kind of ignore that fact. Because, dude, until they played a really, really bad team, sorry, Georgia Southern, I have some Eagle friends, I wish I didn't, they're not somebody who's going to scare you with, like, the way they read things in the secondary. Like, 5 interceptions, sure, that happened, it occurred, it did not happen because they are an outstanding defense. That's all I'm saying, that's it. End of week. Thank you for listening to Boiler Up Down South. I am Garrett. This is
Drew. And let's just win this game.
Please, God.
Let's just win the game. I'm tired of having to defend Ryan Walters on the internet.
Y'all come back now, you hear?